You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
On Matthew 25, that's where we're going to be today, Matthew 25. There's an interesting story. It's about a ruler, a master. I'm just going to paraphrase, by the way. A man has a lot of things, and he decides to go on a journey. And so what he does is he divides his things among three of his servants. And one of these servants gets five talents of his things, and one gets two talents, and another one gets one talent. So he's gone for a while. Well, it says immediately the one who has five, he makes five more. He doubles his money. The one who has two immediately starts trading, and he does the same, and he makes two more. The third takes what he has, and he goes and he buries it. Well, it takes a while, and the master comes back, and he wants to see what his servants have done with the things that he has left them. So to the first one, he says, "Hey, I've made five more." He says, "That is amazing. That is great. In fact, just, I'm going to make you a partner." To the one who has two, he says, "What did you do?" He says, "I've made two more." He says, "That is amazing. Why don't you partner with me and we'll do more of this together?" And to the one who gave one, he says, "What have you done?" He says, "Well, I was a little afraid of you because I know you and I know you're a little hard. You're scary, kind of. So I didn't want to lose what you gave me. I wanted to make sure I was responsible, so I went and I hid it." And he looks at the man and he says, "That was foolish. Why would you have done that? Why not at least give it to someone and get some interest?" And he says, "In fact, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take what you have and I'm going to give it to the one who has five. In fact, I'm not going to make you partner. I'm just going to get rid of you." He likens the kingdom of God to that story. It's interesting. Now, the focus here is not really about doubling our money. You know, some of us are really good at that. You know, me, I could write a book on how to change $1 million in a 25-cent pocket change. I'm good at that. But some people, this is not about money, necessarily. We hear the word talent, and we typically think, because the word has changed meaning over time, talent is a unit of financial measurement. But we typically, think of talent as in the gifts that God's given us. And I think that's probably not so much off base here. I think it works. Because the emphasis here is on stewardship, really. It's not really on making more, doubling. It is stewardship. How do we steward the things that we've been given from God? Now, how do we do it personally? How do we do it as a church family? How do we manage our relationships? How do we manage our ministries to our members and our community? You know, how responsible are we being with our giving, with our money? And are we doing our best to increase what God has given us so that God's kingdom can increase? Or have we set some things aside, we left them alone, it's a little too risky to mess with it, so we leave them alone? And I think this is an important question we need to ask ourselves sooner than later. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about this important connection between this vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with the body of Christ. And we have that image the last several weeks. And this is our last in this series. But also, we need to remember that I've been talking about this sense of urgency. Remember, the apostles have a sense of urgency that they write about. The authors, they have this sense of urgency that I think we need to reclaim today. Urgency, because the king is coming back. The master is returning. Will he return to find us afraid, hiding ourselves away from the world? Or will he find us stewarding our resources in such a way that the kingdom of God has actually increased? We need to reclaim this sense of urgency when it comes to reaching the lost and making disciples and encouraging the faint-hearted brother or sister. And why urgency? Because God is coming back. It's okay, you can say amen because it's true. God is coming back. It's exciting. But when he does, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25, starting in verse 32, he says, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." And in verse 46, "And they will go away to eternal punishment, the righteous to eternal life." I think sometimes we need to remember what people are being saved from. Separation from God. Do we know what separation from God looks like? Have we ever really thought about that? And practically speaking, separation from God is separation from everything good. You know those things that seek to control you every day? You know, your temper, your fear, your imagination, your addiction, your anger. Now imagine having nothing helping you overcome those. Imagine nothing in between those things and you. No defense against darkness consuming you like a fire that cannot be quenched. Separated from anything good means no real friendship, no relationship, no one wanting the best for you, no one helping you. Separation from God's help and mercy, it occurs because a person chooses to do it their own way. But that way that people choose is a way that leads to death. So sheep and goats, two different mindsets. Goats are self-reliant. How many of you know goats? You ever been around goats? Those guys can get into or out of anything. They don't really need a goat herder. They can eat anything. They can find their way anywhere. They can live practically anywhere. Sheep, however, are not self-reliant. They may act tough, and some of them may headbutt you, and I've seen it happen, and they're tough, but they, even the big ones, do not fare well against wolves. Sheep cannot exist alone for any length of time. Two opposing mindsets. One way leads to life. The other one leads to death. One way is unity with God. The other is separation. And I think we need to realize separation from God is not his plan. Love is. And this is what we need to remember. In this Matthew 25 moment, God's not sending people somewhere. It says he loves us so much. Think about this. He loves us so much that he is going to give us what we want. And if what we want is separation from him, he loves you so much that he's going to say, okay. I know a better way, but I love you so much. If you want to be separated from me, okay. But there's a better way. People come into and out of our lives with the idea that they can do it alone, that their way is best, and we know these people. We have been these people. Some of us may still be these people. But do we remember where they're headed? Do we care enough to help them? How do we steward these relationships? Are we willing to risk? To say what we need to say, to do the things that we need to do to approach this with them? Or are we afraid? Or could we risk? Do you know what our mission is? It's to tell these people and ourselves that there is a better way. That we need to keep reminding each other the same thing here in this room, don't we? There's a better way. It leads to life. No matter how depressed or how angry we may feel, no matter how alone we may feel, there's a better way. We need to encourage each other on that every time we meet. Hebrews 10:24 tells us we need to be spurring each other on toward love, toward good deeds, not so that we can be supermodels of righteousness, but so that we can love and bring as many people with us to heaven as possible. You remember the names on the board outside. Now, it's the who's your one. Who is your one? We did this about a month ago. It's been there about a month, and I know sometimes it's probably invisible to you. If something's been there for a while in the church lobby, it becomes invisible. I get it. And so when that happens to me, what I need to do is I need to remind myself that these things have different angles. You got to try to force yourself to look at something from as many angles as possible. And so I went in there with a camera. I've got several more of these. But just to start looking at something from a different point of view, and you realize, oh, there's a lot of people here. You know, this entire day was about finding the one person you need to be pouring yourself into. Have you continued to do that? Has it kind of fallen by the wayside? I'll be honest, I've neglected it. I think sometimes whenever we have something like this, we experience change blindness. Remember that? We talked about it a while back. We oftentimes go through our day without noticing the one thing we should be noticing. Okay, so I've got an exercise for you. What I want you to do, and I know some of you have seen this video before, but what I want you to do is I want you to look at the people in the white, and they're going to be bouncing a basketball, and I want you to count for me how many times they pass the basketball from one person to another. People in the white, how many times they pass the basketball, and we'll see if you get the answer right. You ready? Let's play it. Okay, people in the white, watch, count how many times they pass the basketball. One, two. Okay, good. Put black. Okay, how many did y'all count? How many? 16? Good. Okay, you counted 4? Okay, good. Okay, so you guys counted 16 is right. Okay, what else did you notice? Okay, gorilla. How many of you noticed the gorilla? Be honest. How many of you didn't notice? Okay, now typically half the people who have seen this for the first time, they'll notice a gorilla. Most of us don't, because we're focused on that right there. But how many of you noticed the background changing colors? Okay, how many of you noticed the one person leaving? Okay, I want you to watch again, and this is what's interesting, is that I think this is very similar to what happens to us a lot, is that we're so focused on a couple of things that we miss the occasional guest. We miss the one who's leaving. Watch real quick. And we miss whenever things kind of change color. This is 36 seconds. There's a lot of things going on. And you'll notice, yes, the gorilla comes in here in just a moment. If you didn't see it, you'll see it here in a second. And there's a girl on the right, just leaves, casually. And then you'll see the background all of a sudden changing. Now it's orange and yellow. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's a really good illustration about our mission here. We get so caught up in focusing. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Hang on, I'm going. One more time. Hang on. There we go. Going black. Okay. What happens is that we get so caught up in focusing on those visible and fast-moving areas, we tend to miss the things that really need our attention. And as I said, you know, sometimes we have guests that come in and out and we never notice. Sometimes we have people who leave and we never really even notice. When we gather here, where is our attention? Where's our focus? Is it on ourselves? Or could we place our attention on the community first? On the spiritual relationships here? Could we be genuine and open with one another? Could we let someone know how we really feel whenever they ask, "How are you?" Maybe share our significant moments in our life with one another. Would you be willing to hear someone's hurts and difficulties? Because there's urgency in this type of relationship here. Because Sunday after Sunday, not everyone is just fine. There are hurting Christians in this room, in the seat, maybe next to you, who are losing their way. They are members, they're guests alike, who come because they just need an ounce of hope to keep them going. These people need help urgently. Urgently. Do we notice that? And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of our mission and our purpose here as the body of Christ. It's not something that can be condensed into a mission statement or even a vision statement. It's much, much bigger than that. Because if we forget our mission, if we forget the reason we gather, then what is the point of all of this? So here's a cruise ship. Several years ago, I went on a cruise. It's been a long time ago, but I remember it. It was an older boat. It was the last voyage. They were about to sell it to the Greeks. That's what the crew kept saying. Hey, we're about to sell to the Greeks. It was kind of a party atmosphere with them. But I'm just there. I'd never been on a cruise before. I'm with a group of guys, and I'm in my 20s, and I tell you, it's fun, and it was one of the older ones, so it kind of had a little throwback feel to it. You know, we're sailing, and cruising was still about the outside, and there was a couple of things on the inside that were kind of nice, but it was really about the deck and the group, those little areas outside. You know, it wasn't fancy, but it was memorable. You know, cruise ships have some very fancy destinations that they travel to. Lots of things to see, lots of adventures. There are programs, excursions, shows, lots of food. You can eat 7 times if you go on a cruise. I figured it out. You can eat 7 times. You can have, I think you can have food brought to your room. Then you go to breakfast, then a mid-snack brunch. Then you can go to lunch, then mid-afternoon lunch, then dinner, then the midnight buffet. Lots of food. Was that too much information? People tend to really enjoy themselves at a cruise, don't you? I mean, it's a lot of fun. It is relaxing. There's shows. The service, impeccable. Experience is excellent. There's a small group of people who are making all this happen. You know, that's their job. They are making sure that everyone is comfortable. In fact, this small crew, they go around. They even ask people, how are you? How's your room? How's the food? How's your experience? Was the outing good? The excursion, was it good? How did you like the host of your excursion? Are you doing well? How is everything? If there's a complaint, they will do everything that they can to fix it. You know, they will adjust so that the passenger can have the best possible experience ever. And meanwhile, the passengers, they're soaking it up. They're on their way. They're participating in the events if they like it or if they don't. You know, some cruises today are so popular primarily because the kids are taken care of. So Disney cruises, right? You can go on a Disney cruise, and the kids are gone all by themselves for 5 hours. So that means an adult vacation, 5 hours, kids free, and you're able to enjoy this cruise all by yourself. And they're satisfied. When people leave, they'll usually return. You know, they'll tell everyone how awesome the ship was. There's a lot to do. The kids loved it. And the cruise industry, it does pretty well. Well, when there are not any storms. Yeah. Or any mass, you know, infection on the ship. Usually if there's a big issue, it's not a good cruise. But for most part, cruises are pretty good. You know, if they go on their side and sink, that's not. But typically, for the most part, those are very rare, and cruises are excellent. It's still going. When it runs well, it is like clockwork. It's like going through the motions. Sometimes I wonder, is this not how sometimes church functions? Now, before I met Shelley, I lived in Virginia Beach, and I was trying to find myself. And I trying to figure out what God wanted to do with my life, and I ended up selling cars next to a bunch of retired Navy men. And, you know, I was in my mid-20s, and I thought, I just saw Top Gun for the 19th time. I could do this, you know? And I thought, maybe I could join the Navy. I could go in as an officer. I had my degree. So I was talking to one of my friends. He was a retired petty officer, bigger than life. It's interesting, he has his own different opinions about the Navy. But one thing I was interested about the Navy is this, is that you're part of something bigger in the Navy. You know, you see things you would rarely see alone. You have a job, you have a task that might be unique to you alone. A job that's going to infect the entire crew if it weren't done well or completely. You know, real purpose in the Navy. With people depending on me, and I'd be depending on them. The thing about the Navy, what's interesting, is that if you don't man your gun and there's an attack, that could be a problem. If you're not working the boiler room and you need to go faster, that could be a problem. If you're not cooking, you know what? It's going to affect everybody. Everybody on that ship has a job. On an aircraft carrier, you got 5,000 to 6,000 men, and the old ones at least. Everybody had a job, and they were all highly important, no matter how demeaning they may have been or how exclusive they might have been. Everybody had a job. Friendships developed. Bonds would be made, not because of commonalities necessarily, but because you're on a mission together. You're doing something. You're out deployed together. Your jobs counted when it mattered and even when they didn't. You depend on each other. You live, you work, you breathe your mission and your responsibility. And the mission, it succeeds and it fails based on the actions of the crew. They may not know exactly where they're going at any given time, but what they do know is their mission. And they know that they love and care for each other, even though they may not like each other. They are responsible for each other. You know what kept me from enlisting? Well, several things. But the main thing was I asked him, I said, so I know when you're deployed, you get to go to some pretty amazing places. He says, oh yeah, you get to go to some amazing places. I say, so do you get shore leave? He kind of looked at me. He says, well, sometimes. I said, so do you get like a day off a week? And he looked at me and he said, boy, in the Navy, every day is Monday. I said, okay, I'm out. I'll do something less stressful, like ministry. I'll tell you, when it comes to the kingdom of God, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. A lot of work for all of us. Look in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus has an interesting little, story about Jesus, and it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, starting in verse 35. He's teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. In 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, we need workers in the kingdom of God, but I think sometimes we tend to be more comfortable as passengers. Cruise ships sail for days or for weeks at a time, but even though they see some amazing things, they end up right back where they started, over and over and over. It's like going through the motions. Week after week. Or if some of these Navy vessels could be deployed for weeks, months, and in wartime, who knows, years at a time. Months where most days are Monday. But the difference is that they have a mission to complete, and when they return, they have stories to tell. The crews are going to be closer together. They're probably more appreciative of what they have and what they've been given. And depending on what they endure together, they're going to have a deeper understanding of their place in the world at large. They understand their mission, their purpose. I mean, right now, we're at a crossroads here. We're at the corner of mission and motion. And are we clear about which way to go? Do we realize just how important our relationships here is and our mission and our responsibilities are to each other? Sometimes I've got to remind myself of that because I take it for granted. Do we remember why we meet? What we're supposed to be doing, not just here in this building, but out in our community, in our jobs. We know that, or are we simply going through the motions? Something we need to remember is motion is not really always mission. We could be coming and going every week, but are we using the gifts and talents that God has given us to steward? Are we using them to contribute to the mission that God has also given us so that we can expand the kingdom of God? The question I've been asking myself, are we part of the crew or are we just another passenger? Because we have urgent work that needs to be done. We need to encourage the weak. We need to reach the lost. We need to make disciples. I mean, when we can start seeing other people, each other, and no matter how old you are, when you can start seeing each other from this perspective, amazing things are going to start happening here. But it does take risk because it's not going to be easy, but it takes risk. It takes investment. It takes a humble heart. And honestly, if you don't know how to encourage someone, let me help you. I'll help you. If you don't know how to reach the lost, let us help you. If you don't know how to disciple someone, that's okay. Let me help you. In fact, let me disciple you. There's people here who can disciple you. A fully present disciple is someone who is going to be able to disciple someone. Sometimes we think, I don't know how to disciple. Well, why don't you be discipled first and watch how it's done and let God show you how to disciple someone. Because usually the ones who are discipling someone are disciples of someone. And the things I'm going to encourage you here is you all have a gift to bring, all of you, every one of you, as insignificant as you think it may be. You have a gift to bring here. You have people to love, people to serve, and I am confident that when we decide to fully invest in God's mission here, then there will be more work, more challenges, the mission will be clearer, and we will have more things to do than we know what to do with. In fact, when we get to work, every day will be Sunday. And the question I'm going to ask you is, are you ready for this? Because this may take a couple of days to truly decide. I want to ask you to make a choice today. Are you ready to continue to go through the motions, or are you ready to get to work? Because there's work to be done. And it is not just busy work. This is work that will expand the kingdom of God, because time is short. And the King is coming back.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.